Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in! You are tuned in to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army wives. Our life, our family, our soldier. Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army wives, by Army wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more. Now reporting for duty, your hosts, the AWN Core Team.
Hello, Army families. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Core Team. I'm your host, Lisa Walters.
And I am your co-host, Erica Garvin. Today is Monday, February 13th, 2017, and this is show number 597. We're glad you're here to hang out with us tonight.
Tonight on AWTR, our featured guest is Greg Yeager, president of USAA Resident Real Estate Services, Incorporated, joining us to talk about buying and selling real estate during the winter months. You can connect with USAA on social media, on Twitter, at USAA, and on Facebook, at facebook.com/USAA, or visit their website at USAA.com. Greg will be bringing us valuable information, especially if you are in the market to buy or sell real estate, so be sure to stay tuned.
If you're listening to our show live, join our fun show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Comment on the show, ask questions of our guest, or just hang out and chat with the AWN Core Team. Head over to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork and be sure to use hashtag ArmyWife to participate.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our AWN Core Team. We are a dedicated group of volunteers who are passionate about empowering you in this military life. Get to know us through our bios on ArmyWifeNetwork.com, or you can follow each of us individually on Twitter. Get a behind-the-scenes look into our Army lives, too. We are just like you. Erica, before we move on with the show, let's catch up. It's been a while since we've talked. What's been going on in your Army wife life lately?
Well, Lisa, we just started deployment number 4. So my husband is now over in South Korea, and thankfully he's been there before. So going into this deployment, I feel like we were really prepared. We knew what to expect, the time difference and everything. So far, so good. We have wonderful 9 months ahead of us.
Oh, wow. Wow. Now, you have one little one right now, or?
Yes, I have a daughter. Just one daughter, thankfully. I am. During this deployment, I'm actually staying with my in-laws in Ohio. And now that we're kind of back home, we have a lot of little cousins coming over to the house, and yeah, it's
The
perfect birth control, because I'm like, yeah, one's fine. I will stick with one. So, yes,
hopefully that'll help with, you know, missing daddy, and she'll have lots of friends and family around to kind of distract her, I guess, or to help her have other things to focus on.
Yes. She has two cousins her age, both boys, so she gets to experience what it's like almost to have brothers, because they're over at the house all the time.
Wow.
And she's learning, you know, the basics, learning to share, learning to ask please when she wants something, learning to trade her toys when she wants what one of the other boys are playing with.
Wow.
And they also share sickness. So all four kids have ear infections all in the same week. So
oh, no.
One big happy family working together through this time. And I think that's just one of the big benefits of coming home during deployment. I couldn't imagine going through this sickness without having someone to help me along. And everything happens for a reason. I've definitely come to learn through deployments.
And you said you're staying with your in-laws right now?
Yes, I'm staying with my in-laws. We're in Ohio. Both me and my husband grew up in Ohio, so coming here is seeing all the family. And it's interesting living with any other person, like living with another family. It has a lot of new challenges just outside of deployment challenges. So right now, as we begin this deployment, I'm trying to find a balance between my space and their space and just working together. As simple as meal planning together or planning our schedules together, it's a new challenge, but so far it's been so nice to be home with family.
Oh, good. Good. During one of my husband's deployments, my girls and I actually ended up living with my parents for that time period. And my mom and I fell into this really good rhythm of she would cook and I would clean. And it worked out great for both of us because she was good at meal planning and cooking, and that was not my favorite thing to do, but I did not mind cleaning up afterwards and doing dishes. And so we just fell into this really nice rhythm of what she did and what I did, and it worked out pretty well.
That sounds excellent. And, you know, speaking of your daughters, I hear that you two are planning a very exciting event coming up soon.
Yeah, actually, she's really doing the majority of the planning. It's amazing to watch her just really shine through this. But she is getting married March 11th. So she's been planning for a while, and she is... I knew she was a good planner. I knew she was organized, but to watch her just blossom in all of this, and there's been a few stressful moments here and there, but for the most part, she's kept right on track with getting everything done. And the wedding is in Texas. And so there's been a little bit of a hurdle, not too much to plan it long distance. But we went down to Texas for a week, she and I did. And so that helped a lot to do some stuff on site. And everything since then has just been email and messaging and things like that. But we've got, a month to go now. And so, yeah, it's getting down there.
Couple more weeks. And I'm sure that we just immensely look forward to those Facebook photos that I'm sure you'll be posting of that wedding.
Yeah. She's driving down to Texas. And she leaves next Sunday. She's going to be there about 2.5 weeks or so before the wedding. And so it's not really a stressor as much as it is for her parents, a little bit of a nerve-wracking, thing. She's going to be driving across the country by herself, but she already has reservations at different military bases on her route to stay there. And so, she's going to be safe, but we're going to be sort of praying her across the country.
Absolutely. And we'll definitely make sure to keep her in mind as she goes about her travels. But how neat to plan out her travels through all of those military installations. That has to be a huge relief for her.
Yeah. And it was for me, too, I think, because, we could have, made reservations at a hotel, ahead of time. But just to know that she's going to be on base, or I think it's mostly Air Force bases that she's going to be able to stop at. But, she's already got reservations there with her military ID. She'll be able to get on and off, and it'll be so much safer than just trying to find a hotel for her. So that was one thing off my mind, I think, that made it a little bit easier. But I'm still going to be, until she actually ends up in Texas to the place where she's going to stay, I'll be a little bit worried probably.
Well, that's just, you are a great mother, Lisa, and that is completely understandable. But speaking of posts, aren't you guys currently deciding if you want to move on post?
Yeah, we are. With the position that my husband just started in, that gives us the opportunity, if we wanted to put in for on-post housing. And here at JBLM, the housing areas that we would be able to move into are very nice. And so we've been kicking that idea back and forth. I mean, we are okay in the house we're in, but we lived on post at Fort Hood and absolutely loved it. And so I kind of think I would love to be on post again. So we have not made any decisions yet, mostly because we can't decide. But it's still up in the air, and we're still kicking it around.
Now, do you have a time limit to when your family has to make that decision?
No. We could put in and apply for getting on post anytime.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Maybe you can save it till after the wedding when things calm down a little bit.
Right. That's kind of what we're thinking. When we get back from the wedding, and then we'll probably make a definitive decision at that point. Okay. Yes, we're going to stay in the house we're in for the next year, or no, let's apply for on-post housing and see what happens with that. But decisions, they're always hard, no matter what they are.
Agreed.
Well, it looks like it's about time to move on to our hot topics this week. And hot in military family news, Hyundai's emotional ad reunites military families. In this heartwarming story, as reported by Marie Aubrey, Hyundai's Super Bowl ad was deemed by many to be the most powerful ad of the night, though it didn't run until after the game for this reason. The automaker's Operation Better 90-second ad reunited U.S. troops overseas with their families who were attending the Super Bowl in Houston, and was the first of its kind to feature real moments from the game, which took footage from the live game and then edited it into the Super Bowl ad while the New England Patriots and Atlanta Falcons were still battling it out on the field. The ad was shot during the game in two separate locations. Soldiers stationed in Poland were brought into a small room fitted with a 360-degree screen that virtually transported them to a suite at Houston's NRG Stadium, where they were able to watch the game alongside their families, reports NESN. The innovative and emotional ad effectively captured the true meaning of sacrifice and also the hearts of all those who watched. Hyundai received an outpouring of praise and salutes on social media for their heartwarming ad. To read the full story and watch the video, go to dennismichaellynch.com/Hyundai's emotional ad reunites military families video.
Hot on AWN this week, AWN experience blogger Kit in her latest blog post, The Moment When You Start Moving Furniture, shares that while her husband is deployed, she's moving furniture and fixing up the house. However, she also soon discovers that no amount of paint or purging is going to fix what's really bugging her, the fact that there is an empty spot at the dinner table, in the bed, and on the couch that she continues to keep sliding around the living room, trying to find the perfect place. Read more of Kit's blog post by heading over to armywifenetwork.com and checking out our blog section.
And on Facebook this past week, we asked our fans, what do you love about your current area or duty station? One AWN fan wrote, Germany, antique treasure hunting at a steal. Another fan shared, the whole atmosphere in Huntsville, Alabama. Want to brag a little about your current duty station? head over to the AWN Facebook page to add your comments. Erica, what is one of the things you love about your current duty station?
Well, our current duty station is technically Fort Riley, Kansas, and it is our first big duty station. Before then, we've been at little airfields. So coming to this duty station, I feel like every day there's a different event going on at post, like a family-friendly event, and it's just been so great to see a base community-oriented and family-oriented. And as soon as my daughter turns 3, there's a whole list of activities that she can participate in. So I just feel like this is the most family-friendly place we've been yet.
Well, fun. That is neat. That is neat. Well, it is time to move on to our next segment. Erica, tell us about our PSA this week.
Sure thing. Last but not least, it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit them to one per show and ask for them at least 10 days in advance. Send your PSA to info@armywifenetwork.com. Have you been scammed by a fake check or had money removed from your bank account without your knowledge or consent? If you stay vigilant, you don't have to be a victim. These tips from the Army Emergency Relief Headquarters, or AER, are ways to keep from being fooled by scam artists. AER does not ask soldiers, retired soldiers, or their family members for a login or password for their online banking site. If anyone asks you for this information because they need help depositing funds from an AER assistant application, don't share it and contact your local authorities immediately. Never give your bank account information to anyone promising to help you earn easy money or who tells you they need your help cashing a check because they're out of the country, too busy, or etc. Scam artists are obtaining other people's banking information and withdrawing funds from their accounts. Be careful about accepting checks, even cashier checks, from people you do not know. Call the bank listed on the check to make sure the check is genuine and never use the funds before the check clears. And lastly, never accept a check for more than you are due with the request to send the overpayment to a third party. To learn more, visit aerhq.org to learn more. Now that's it for our PSA. Coming up next after these quick commercial breaks is our News 6 Crystal, bringing you the need-to-know stories. We'll be right back.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details. It's time for the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. We have Crystal online bringing our News 6 report this week. Hi, Crystal. What have you got for us tonight?
Hi, Lisa and Erica. Tonight's report concerns a new online training program for soldiers and family members that will be eligible to make the switch to the new blended retirement system. No one can choose the new retirement system until after January 1st, 2018. But the Army wants every eligible soldier and family member to be informed before the time comes to make that decision. The online training, after only the first 24 hours of being active, has already had more than 1,000 service members logged in and ready to start their courses. So this is definitely something that our soldiers are concerned about.
Crystal, is this course optional if the soldier has already decided that they want to stay with the old retirement system?
Well, no. The training is mandatory for every service member that will be eligible as of January 1st, 2018. Eligible soldiers are those that have less than 12 years active duty service as of December 31st, 2017, and all reserve component members who have accrued less than 4,320 retirement points as of December 31st, 2017.
Well, Crystal, can you give us more details about the training itself? You said it's online, correct?
Right. The course is completely online. It consists of 9 lessons and takes between 1.5 to 2 hours to complete, although the course taker has the option to pause the course and come back to it at a later time. The lessons cover topics such as the importance of lifelong financial security, financial planning and the thrift savings plan, and differences in the current HI-3 system and the blended retirement system. When the course is finished, the service member will receive a certificate of completion to present to their chain of command as proof of having completed the training.
Crystal, can you give us the basics of this new retirement system and how it differs from the current system?
Sure. The new retirement benefit offers a smaller pension check, 40% of basic pay after 20 years of service, rather than the 50% that's currently offered. However, the new system also includes monthly government contributions to an individual's retirement account.
Are there other ways the Army is working to get information to soldiers about this new blended retirement system?
Yes, the Army has also launched 2 additional courses to prepare senior leaders and financial counselors to help provide resources to service members. Within the next 4 to 6 weeks, officials expect to release a blended retirement system calculator, which will allow service members to plug in various scenarios to help them compare their benefits in the old system versus the new system.
Okay, well, Crystal, where can our listeners go to access this training now?
The training is available on Joint Knowledge Online for those with a common access card. Family members can access the same training by going to the Military OneSource website. The training can be found under the Financial and Legal tab, and then go down under the Personal Financial Management and Taxes option.
I know this is a big concern for many of our listeners right now, and I think this training will be a great help to them. Thanks so much for bringing us this information tonight, Crystal. Listeners, stay tuned after this break for our interview with Greg Yeager of USAA, talking to us about buying and selling real estate in the winter months. You don't want to miss it.
I had PTSD. Once I was back from Iraq, I was distant from everybody in my family.
We had a reunion of our unit, and you'd hear these spouses say, "Is your husband doing that? My husband's doing that too. I thought it was just us." And really understanding that, hey, this is a common experience.
I learned more to listen to what he was saying, and that made it easier for me to understand where his pain was coming from.
Resources are available for military families. Learn more at realwarriors.net.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Walters.
And I am your co-host, Erica Garvin. Tonight, we have with us Greg Yeager, president of USAA Residential Real Estate State Services, Inc. Through this real estate brokerage, Greg leads USAA's Real Estate Rewards Network, which is USAA's proprietary member relocation program. Greg joined USAA in 2003 and has served in senior management roles leading mortgage and home equity orientation and fulfillment, post-clearing, pricing, servicing, and secondary marketing. Prior to joining USAA, he oversaw consumer loan, lease servicing, and collection activities at the Provident Financial Group. Greg also spent more than 10 years at U.S. Bancorp leading business units involved in real estate orientation, servicing, and collections, consumer loan, consumer leasing servicing, consumer collections, consumer compliance, mergers, acquisitions, and information technology.
Greg received his bachelor's degree in management and information systems from Xavier University. He also is a graduate of the ABA National Compliance School at the University of Oklahoma and has held certifications and or licensure as a real estate agent, broker, appraiser, and property manager. Greg is a very active volunteer outside of USAA, serving on the board of directors for the YMCA of Greater San Antonio as treasurer with roles on the finance and executive committees. He also is very active in his church, as well as with leadership roles in the Knights of Columbus, and devotes time to Habitat for Humanity, the San Antonio Food Bank, Valero Texas Open, and several scholarship foundations. Welcome to the show, Greg.
I guess I should unmute. Thank you very much.
It's good to have you here. Well,
it's great to be here.
A little,
thanks, Lisa. Thanks,
tell
Erica.
Us a little. Oh, you're welcome. Tell us a little about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
You bet. So I can barely say anything else after that introduction you gave about myself. I live in San Antonio, which is where the home office of USAA is located, and live here with my wife and two of our sons, and our daughter lives in Ohio. I'm the son of my father served in the Army Korean War, and I have a brother that served in the Navy, and presently two of my nephews are serving in the Navy as well.
So, Greg, I'm so excited to have you as a guest tonight. As someone who is looking to buying a house soon, I am curious to know, why are winter months a good time to buy a house?
Really, one of the reasons, and that's Erica that asked that, is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I've got the voices down. So I think, Erica, one of the reasons is that there's less pressure, really. If I said to you, when really do people buy and sell homes the most? I think all of us would naturally say, well, that's during the summer, you know, the spring and summer months. And I think the primary driver of that is that, you know, it's when kids are out of school. But there's a number, but a reason why buying or selling in the winter can be really an effective time to get that done is that, you know, if you think about our natural inclination to say, well, all that activity tends to happen during the summer, well, everybody that's involved in those transactions, whether it's real estate agents or, you know, mortgage lenders or appraisers or home inspectors or a myriad of the other parties that are involved in buying and selling real estate, in the summertime, they're hair on fire. You know, it is like like, you know, pushing cattle through, you know, through a, you know, down a path, just herding them. And their primary motivation is just get them through the process. In the wintertime, things are, you know, a lot more laid back. If you think about somebody who's buying or selling in the winter, they tend to be pretty darn serious, where you got to figure out during the spring and summer just how serious a buyer or seller is. If somebody really is out there looking at homes to buy in the winter, if somebody really has their house listed for sale in the winter, there's a motivation for why it is that they're doing it during those months, because it's, you know, arguably not optimum in terms of, you know, I don't want to, you know, when I lived up north, when I lived in Ohio, I didn't want to be outside in the snow looking at a house. But if I had to be, I think you'd draw the conclusion that I'm pretty serious about it.
Yeah, that's very true. And I know you mentioned a little bit about sellers specifically, but are there any other maybe advantages that you see that sellers have in the winter months?
There's advantages really for sellers and for buyers. I think if you're a seller, I think that you can presume that most anybody that comes through your house during that time of the year is really serious. You know, you can, you know, using the example that I said before, you know, they're not going out just because they enjoy going out and looking at houses in the wintertime. They're a serious buyer with serious motivation. You know, maybe they're going through a PCS that's, you know, outside of the normal cycle, et cetera. You know, they're serious. If you're a buyer, there's some distinct advantages really as well. I mentioned before that there's a lot of practitioners involved in helping people move. Let's say that you're using a professional mover. And you know, I know that varies in military moves whether you are or not, but let's say for a second you are. If you're using a professional mover, the costs of using a mover during the off season are lower. You know, those moving companies are doing their level best to keep their best employees, you know, on the payroll and gainfully employed. And so they're willing to dicker a little bit and be a little bit more negotiable about their pricing structure that's in play. In the summertime, when they're flush with volume, they can charge whatever they want. You know, I think that some of that variability plays out with each of the types of practitioners that are involved. You know, use a mortgage lender. In the summertime, when the title companies, you know, it varies state to state, but let's say that the closing is going to happen at a law firm or a title company, they're really pushing people through. There's not a whole lot of extra time for take your time, ask your questions, get the questions answered fully. You know, they're going to do what they have to do within the constraints of the law, but it isn't going to be, you know, they've got all the time in the day to spend time answering questions. They've got to get on to the next scheduled closing. In the wintertime, all of those practitioners have a lot more time on their hands and a lot more willingness to take the time. And especially if somebody's a first-time home buyer, that can feel a lot less rushed than the kind of instance where you're in the middle of the summer.
Now, Greg, you've mentioned a lot of great reasons why buyers and sellers should look at the market during the winter, but now we're on the verge of spring. So why might now be a good time to jump into the market if you are thinking of buying or selling? I mean, is spring a pretty good time to look at houses as well?
It is. Again, I think each season can have its distinct, you know, advantages and drawbacks. In the spring, from an advantage perspective, so let's say that you're a buyer and, you know, you want to kind of get a jump on getting out there, you know, starting looking, you know, making offers on homes and so forth. If you're doing that before the throngs are out there, one of the things that can be very advantageous to a buyer is that you're out there, again, like in the wintertime, with a lot less competition for properties. And, you know, we're seeing, it's not true in every market, You know, I think Fayetteville would be a good example for Greg, where we don't see the kind of run-up in home prices. But in many markets around the country, we see home prices that are, you know, that are escalating pretty rapidly. There seems to be pent-up buying demand, and there's a lot of pressure for the properties that are out there. And so, you know, just the simple dynamics of supply and demand, when you have a lot of buyers that are out there in the summer, you know, you can almost see situations, not almost, you see situations where, you know, people are getting into bidding competitions and really driving prices up. Somebody that's looking in the spring before all of those buyers get out, you know, and active in the marketplace, you go out and you make an offer on a house. Maybe you're the only offer that's there. Causes a couple of things. The bidding war is not in play, and because the seller is not feeling all of that pressure of, you know, tons and tons of buyers coming through, maybe they're a little bit more negotiable. In the wintertime, they tend to be a lot more negotiable. But still in the spring, you can have a little bit more of that negotiability in play.
Well, that just makes so much sense. So thank you for sharing that advice. We're going to switch gears just a little bit here. And I know a lot of families probably think, oh, let's save ourselves some money and either buy or sell on our own. You know, we'll just do it ourselves. But what are the advantages of working with a real estate agent?
That's what I do at USAA, obviously. I run the real estate brokerage at USAA, and I am absolutely passionate about using an agent. And the data around that really speaks for itself. It's readily available. You can go out to the National Association of Realtors website, and you'll see, you know, just legions and legions of information that speak to this one point. The cost associated with a commission on a property is more than offset by the agent. So use the example that you just said. A couple thinks that they're going to put their house up for sale by owner, and they're going to avoid paying the commission, and, you know, they're going to save some money. It's a great aspiration, but more often than not, couple of realities come into play. First one is they're not experts at pricing the home. The second is someone comes to the home and looks at it, and the first thing that the prospective buyer says in their mind, gee, this seller has not has not engaged a real estate agent, and so I'm going to offer a price that's commensurate with stripping out the commission. So they've lost all the advantage that they hope to achieve by doing that. And the reality is maybe the seller did a lot of homework and figured out what the price point of the house ought to be. And they said, okay, it ought to sell for X, and so I'm going to reduce that by what the normal commission is for the area. So I'm going to list it with that already taken into account. And now a buyer comes in and says, well, I'm going to take it out again. And so it's problematic. So difficulty in knowing how to price the property, you know, the challenges of buyers that assume that they're going to take the commission out, and maybe sellers that have already, you know, adjusted the price, the sales price, to take the commission out. And the next really gets into where I think the agents earn their keep. They earn their keep in terms of the knowledge of the laws. They earn their keep in terms of setting a home up to be staged properly so that when a prospective buyer comes through it, it's the most presentable that it can be, from curb appeal to arrangement of the furniture, everything else, recommending to the seller what kinds of things make sense in terms of repair and maintenance to get it ready to be sold, and what kind of things aren't worth the investment. All of that the agent can help with. And probably the last is the negotiation itself. You know, a home to each of us is our castle, and we hold it very dear. And when somebody, you know, comes up to us and we're trying to sell this on our own, and, you know, I've got the house listed for $225,000 and they offer you $175,000, that's insulting. It's my house, you know, and it's, you're passionate about that. And most people don't have the ability to have a mechanism to really manage through that negotiation. The agent, you know, becomes that third party through whom the negotiation can ensue. And you can, you as a seller can communicate all that passion of why you want to, you know, stick with a certain price point, and that, you know, it's up to the agent to communicate either directly to the prospective buyer or through their agent, you know, what that price in terms is going to look like. And it manages all of that emotion out of it, and it really keeps it at a business transaction level.
Wow, Greg, after all of those great details, I have no doubt in my mind that I will always go through an agent. The agent just seems to take care of so many things. And as a potential buyer, when I am trying to decide which agent to go with, what are some questions you can ask your potential agent when you are interviewing them to see if they are the best fit for your needs?
So, you know, obviously, you know, given our audience here, you know, we're talking about, you know, primarily an Army audience. And so, you know, with the agent network that I offer, and the agent network that I offer, you know, we provide training to them that helps deal with the unique needs of a military move. That's not common for, you know, civilian moves. They're very different. And so my expectation, regardless of whether it's an agent who's in my network or not, my advice to, you know, to your listeners is that whether they're selling or whether they're buying, they need to make sure of a few things. There are some things that they need to make sure of, whether it's whether it's militarily oriented or not. Things like, are you comfortable with, if you're selling, are you comfortable with the marketing plan that this agent is showing you, and, you know, their personality matches yours and you feel comfortable with them? Do you believe when they get done giving you their listing presentation, their marketing package for your home, that they're really going to deliver on it, that they really can accomplish the things that they said they would in that marketing presentation? If you don't, I suggest moving on to another agent and listening. I definitely recommend anyway comparing a couple of agents rather than just listening to one and saying, well, that's the one. So those aren't even unique to military moves. Those are, I think, just practical bits of advice that, you know, you need to find somebody that is the right person for you who can help maximize the sales price of this home. You know, it's, if you flip over to the buy side, you know, there are many, and some of these characteristics also apply on the sell, but I'll focus on the buy. There's many characteristics that are unique to a military move. You know, a spouse with children who are going to go through a PCS, where you know, there's a trailing spouse, or there's a spouse that's forward deployed. You know, I was listening when I was on hold at first, and you were talking about Kit's blog post and the empty table seat and the empty seat on the sofa, obviously referencing, you know, some spouse that's forward deployed. You know, we see orders that come through all the time, and you've got the trailing spouse and the kids moving to this new duty station while the spouse stays forward deployed, and they don't participate in the sell or the buy transaction whatsoever. That's not normal to the civilian experience. So having an agent that understands the legal requirements associated with powers of attorney and sensitivities around the kinds of emotions that are going to that are going to be displayed, you know, by a spouse who's going through that while their spouse is forward deployed, and the same thing with the emotions of the children. You know, these are all things that we try to train our agents to make sure that they're going to adequately meet the needs of somebody who's going through a difficult military move. Not every agent who you know, most of the time deals with civilian transactions has that expertise.
Well, Greg, we need to take a quick break, but when we come back, let's talk more about how working with a real estate agent benefits military families in particular.
Okay. Look forward to it.
And listeners, don't forget, if you're listening into our show live right now, the AWN core team is hanging out in Twitter chat. Join in the conversation and ask questions of our guest by going to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork and using the hashtag ArmyWife to participate. Make sure to click on the live tab to get real-time chat updates. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Friendly Fire. Keep personal information off social media websites. This is a Money Minute from In Charge Education Foundation and MilitaryMoney.com. Don't do yourself or your friends in by posting personal information on social media websites. That kind of friendly fire gives identity thieves the information they need to access your financial accounts. Armed with enough information, they can steal your identity, potentially taking over your financial accounts or posing as you to open new credit accounts. Avoid posting or sharing your full name, especially your middle name, date of birth, hometown, relationship status, school locations and graduation dates, pet names, and other affiliations, interests, and hobbies. It should go without saying that you should never post your social security number or driver's license number, but a surprising number of people do. Be thoughtful about the pictures you post, too. Things like house numbers, license plate numbers on your classic car, and other information can be used to find your location or launch searches for other personal information. This Money Minute is made possible by InCharge Debt Solutions. Visit us online at www.incharge.org.
You are listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed the live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Greg Yeager from USAA. Before we went to break, Greg was sharing with us the benefits of working with a real estate agent. Greg, what maybe are some more ways a real estate agent can really help a family who is PCSing?
So if you think about, you know, military moves, most military moves are not moving across town. You know, they're not moving from one side of the city to the other the way most civilians do. Hey, I think I'm just going to, you know, change homes, change school districts, move up in house size or whatever. Military moves are generally, you know, what I call disparate moves, long distance moves, and typically into new locations where the, you know, the person moving in doesn't have a lot of experience with those markets. So the agent, I believe, brings expertise to that equation. You know, if somebody's moving in and they've got unique needs with their family, a particular kind of school that offers a particular kind of services, an interest in a certain kind of arts, an interest in a certain kind of sports, and ensuring that the home that that's ultimately acquired is in a close proximity to those kind of services, an agent ought to have all of those, all of those kinds of local bits of market knowledge, and be able to provide those in a fashion to the, to the buyer. You know, similarly, let's look at PCSs that are happening where somebody is deployed to a foreign country and coming back. There's little luxury at all for the prospective buyer to get into that market and you see the property. You know, I've got good stories and good instances where we've had agents who literally were all of the eyes and ears, all of the experience and all of the, you know, the looking through a property and the extent that the agent went through, you know, to help these buyers literally buy a home sight unseen are, you know, really get to be pretty amazing case studies. You know, they're going through and doing, you know, the Google Glasses, they're doing videos, they're doing, you know, still photos, they're taking pictures of what the street looks like, all things that I think are very relevant that somebody who's an expert in their field as far as the real estate agent is concerned, they should be bringing all of that information to the table and supporting the prospective buyer, whether they're, you know, moving from 1,000 miles away or tens of thousands of miles away from, you know, from across the pond somewhere.
Now, Greg, you've talked about a couple of things that military families will experience when looking to buy a house, especially when PCSing. Now, what are some things a military family may need to consider that civilian families do not, and how can an agent help with this?
So I have two things in that space. I want to throw a little bit of a plug in for USAA on that one. USAA has some tools. We have a PCS guide with some checklists in there that will really help guide, service members, through a move like that. Things that they may not have thought of, especially if they haven't been through moves, many times before, first time move, that kind of checklist can be really, really helpful. Similarly with the agent, I gave a couple of those examples before, but one that comes to mind that I didn't use in that last question is market influences. The last thing that a service member wants to do is come into a particular area and buy a home to find out that there's something going on, an external influence to the home that's going to impact the property value, especially if it's going to impact it negatively. Hey, they just decided that they're going to put the town dump 2 blocks away. And so every house that's within smell range of the town dump is going to be negatively impacted in terms of their price point. Well, somebody who's just moving into that area in a military move that's coming long distance, they're totally unaware of that. You know, an agent who is seasoned and is a professional ought to be aware of those kinds of influences. And those are the kinds of things that, a family coming into the market to go and view homes ought to be asking. What are the market influences on the property? What have the property values been doing in this neighborhood where you're showing me homes? The agent should be well-versed in being able to give great line of sight into those kind of influences.
Well, Greg, we're going to kind of move in a little bit of a different direction now. Let's
sure.
talk about interest rates. They are rising. So what does that mean for home buyers and sellers?
So we've seen, if you go back over the last 90 to 120 days, we saw interest rates go up fairly rapidly, and then we saw them moderate a little bit. Let me make that a little bit more real. On a 30-year fixed, I'll say it in a 30-year fixed kind of vein, as well as in a VA, obviously, since that's really appropriate for the market or the audience that we're talking to. If you look at the interest rates that have, 120 days ago, 30-year fixed, again, it's all influenced by what somebody's credit is and that kind of thing. But assuming somebody has pretty pristine credit, 30-year fixed conventional financing was probably in the 3.5% range, somewhere in there, and today it's in the 4.125, so it's raised about 0.625%. VA, on the other hand, it's had a similar increase in percentage, but good VA rates today are somewhere in 3 7/8 range, so maybe a 0.25% lower than conventional rates, conventional financing on 30 years. So what does that mean? So it means for sure that rates have gone up. I think that means that some people who would have been looking for homes, all the way at the top end of their buying capacity, will get squeezed out. But that's probably okay. It's probably okay in the sense that, I know at USAA our focus is and has always been that we're very concerned about making sure that we're helping service members not get into any kind of loan that sort of puts them over their head, right, that puts them in harm's way financially. So I'm okay with some people getting squeezed out. I've been around lending and real estate for a long time. I know that when my wife and I bought our first home, we had an interest rate, this goes back to the 1980s, if you can believe it, that was 17 or 18%. They might say, boy, Greg, you really had crummy credit, but that wasn't it at all. That was just the nature of the environment. And we survived. We made that work. It was just the way things were at that time. We're not there today. I think that what we see is a lot of noise in the press about, interest rates that go up a 0.25% or 0.5% in the last 90-120 days. And there's some, the sky is falling type newsprint that's out there. And I tend to look at it a little bit more rationally and say, in a traditional sense, interest rates are really pretty darn affordable. But I'll go back to what I said before about home prices. When I was saying that we've seen some price appreciation going on in many markets around the country, I'm probably more concerned about the combination that we see a little bit of rise in interest rate, and then we see some rise in sales price, and that combination makes affordability more difficult. What I've seen over past cycles over many years is, when we see interest rates go up a lot, you'll actually see home prices come back. They'll moderate because you have sellers that are just sitting on homes. If they didn't moderate their home prices and the interest rates got so far out of hand, sellers could never sell. So sellers then become forced to bring their prices down to price points where buyers can buy. We're nowhere near that today. But I do think that rising interest rates, should give buyers pause, to go out and be carefully evaluating what their buying capacity is so that what they buy doesn't get them into, a financial situation where they're over their head. We never want that.
Now, Greg, you've talked a lot about different trends in the market, but the one question I've been dying to ask you all night is, what do you see as the main impacts to the mortgage market for 2017?
I see the biggest impact is that I see that it will slow refinance activity down. So, while we're focused on buying and selling, there's obviously some folks out there that, currently own a home, and they, scratch their head and say, hey, should I refinance? Probably the rise in interest rates really slows that down, unless somebody's sitting out there with a loan that they've had for a considerable period of time, and it's 6% or something like that, and maybe they couldn't refinance before because they had credit difficulties that have now, that credit scenario has improved. It will have a pretty dramatic effect on the volume of refinance. And so what does that mean? That actually creates capacity within the mortgage lending businesses around the country. So, when I talked before about, the stress all the way through the ecosystem during the summertime, we might find that, you'll have some mortgage lenders with some excess capacity And they might become, that might cause them to be more aggressive in terms of pricing and other things that can work to the consumer's favor as they're trying to keep their staff members gainfully employed. I said this a second ago, I don't think that I see enough upward interest rate movement that we're going to see just droves and droves of people pushed out of the buying market at this point. I think that we've seen a lot of folks who are, you know, in that millennial category that based on traditional standards, we would have historically expected them to already have started pulling the trigger in great numbers, buying homes. You know, I think there's a lot of reasons why that got delayed. You know, the recession impacts that and lots of other, you know, socioeconomic reasons. But I believe that group of people has a lot of pent-up buying demand. And we're starting, I think, now to see that pent-up demand start to come to life. And I don't think that that's going to, you know, that the rise in interest rates is going to slow them down in any dramatic fashion. I think they're going to come to the table and be interested in buying. I just hope that there's enough, you know, property available because it, you know, mathematically it's such a big bubble of buyers that, you know, I hope there's enough property available for them to consume.
Well, Greg, you have shared some terrific information tonight and it's been a lot of really good stuff. And so, my big question is, where can our listeners go to get more information about what USAA can offer military members in relation to real estate and get more help on buying and selling?
Sure. So I'll give a couple of bits of information there. Obviously, I run the real estate brokerage at USAA, and we have a really unique program. Members can come to us and find a real estate agent and know that they're going to get somebody who's trained to the uniquenesses of a military move. They're going to get an advocate assigned to them that has nothing to do with the commission. It's not the real estate agent. And this advocate, you know, stays with them through the transaction. And whether somebody buys or sells or not, that I don't want to say it's irrelevant to this advocate. The advocate is there, you know, solely to help them get through what can be a bumpy experience. Buying and selling real estate can be bumpy. And that's why that advocate is there, to help smooth out some of those bumps. And the last piece of the program is that we, you know, in addition to a lot of other things that we do to help the member, we also turn around and give them a cash, you know, incentive at the end. Last year, I think we gave just over $56 million back to USAA members for using a real estate agent through our program. If they want to find out about it, that real estate rewards network that I'm referencing, they can call, you know, the 800 number for USAA, 800-531-USAA, or if they're a digital user like myself and most are, they can go to either USAA's mobile app or to USAA.com. If they go to USAA.com/find-an-agent, that's where they'll learn about real estate rewards. On the mortgage side, again, either way, they can go through mobile or through USAA.com and explore the mortgage products and tools that we have available. We always encourage people to get pre-qualified. You know, that speaks to what I was saying before when we were talking about the rising interest rates. It's really important to know where they're at from an affordability perspective. So they can do that digitally. We have self-service digital tools that are really easy to work with. Many of our members are using that. If somebody's uncomfortable with that and they want to talk to someone, again, 800-531-USAA and walk through the call tree towards our mortgage lending team.
Well, Greg, thank you so much for being our guest this evening. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us.
You're welcome. I really appreciate the opportunity. You know, I, like everybody at USA, are passionate about the military and their family, and anything that we can do, you know, to support the military is is exciting to us and is more than worth my time. So love doing it. And if you ever need me again, I'm happy to be here.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And listeners, thank you for joining us and thank you for tuning in. Next week, February 20th, 2017, we'll be taking a break in observance of President's Day. We will be back the following week, February 27th, with more Army Wife Talk Radio and special guest Barika Edwards, who will share with us how her company, is equipping military spouses to compete in the job market.
In the meantime, join us on armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Interactive Empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DoD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.